You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In El Salvador, close to 47% of the population lives without regular access to clean water in their homes. Now the government has announced plans to privatize water utilities as a solution to this public health problem. Today on Underreported, we will discuss water privatization with Mai Feel, director of the Water for All project at Food and Water Watch. And then later on, we'll learn what happened to 13 activists who were arrested at an anti-privatization protest that took place exactly 1 month ago today. Right now, I'm pleased to welcome Mai Feel to my show. Hello.
Hello, Leonard. Thank you so much for having me.
What does it mean to privatize water?
Well, there's a number of models under which water is privatized. Oftentimes, people would see it as being the full sale of water assets and water sources. But in many types of privatization, it's very long-term concession-type privatizations where a company takes over full responsibility for water services. It can be up to 99 years.
But there also can be public-private partnerships, there can be service contracts, so many different kinds of deals. What is El Salvador proposing?
Well, El Salvador is proposing a system in which a new national law would decentralize water services from the national operator.
So then local communities would make separate deals?
Well, yeah, they would essentially be forced to making those deals, and the law creates a lot of incentives in order to privatize. And that's what people are protesting. Essentially, the national government is trying to get rid of the responsibility of providing water to people through giving that responsibility to local municipalities. But that responsibility does not come with sufficient funding, and so local municipalities are forced to privatize. And it has happened in a few cases in El Salvador and around the world where we've seen really disastrous results from that.
Well, haven't the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank pushed for privatization in Latin America and some other developing regions?
Absolutely. Both the Inter-American Development Bank and the World Bank, and actually the IMF as well, has really for more than a decade been behind policies that condition their lending and their consultancies that they provide to countries on privatization of water, of commercialization of water, and different types of privatization that significantly increase the price of water for the very poorest.
Now, why is that? Is this just an ideological thing? Is it because they believe that privatization usually works best, or do they feel that it works best in the case of water?
Well, it has been a very ideological battle that has happened over a number of years, and a number of social services, essential services across the world have been privatized due to the conditions from these institutions, electricity, telecommunication, and water just being some of them. And it's led to quite disastrous results. In El Salvador, already the electricity and the telecommunications has been privatized, and people have seen massive rate increases for that. But often what also happens when these policies are demanded from national governments around the world, the public sector is tasked, prior to the privatization, of massively increasing the price so that these different services become more attractive to foreign investment.
But you said that privatization has been disastrous. Isn't the situation in El Salvador a disaster without privatization? So many people lack access to clean, affordable water.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's really happened over a long period of defunding of the public sector, which also is part of the program to set water and other essential services up for privatization, to really undermine the public sector instead of working to improve services in the public sector at the most cost-efficient way.
How does this compare to El Salvador's Central American neighbors, Guatemala, Nicaragua, Honduras?
Well, similar policies have happened there, but more recently there's been some political shifts in, for example, Bolivia and Nicaragua, where more popular representatives have been elected, and they have taken a shift away from these policies that we've seen implemented. But I think very interestingly, if you look across Latin America, some of these policies have previously and over actually a 10-year period been implemented in countries, and they have really failed across across the whole continent. So it's very interesting to see the El Salvadoran government now pursuing this, and the recent protests that we're seeing are really as a result of the collaboration that are between the water movements in different countries and the experiences that we've seen where that's being shared, and communities are talking to each other across countries and sharing that in order to try and raise a public debate in order to find better solutions.
Well, privatization of water in Bolivia led to riots breaking out, the protests over 8 days in April 2000, and perhaps are a major reason that Evo Morales wound up being elected president of the country.
Absolutely, and the current water minister actually comes out of the Cochabamba battle. The Cochabamba battle is very interesting because it was really the first time that the people's voice was heard in trying to make these alternative policy demands to what we saw as a global move towards liberalization of water services. There were battles on the street, and it came after Bechtel taking over the water services in the city, actually denying people the right to collect rainwater and massively increasing the rates. Actually, to some extent, similar as what we've seen in El Salvador, because rates went up as much as 300%, which is what we saw in 2000 in El Salvador as well. And even middle-class people were not able to afford the water. So it was really a broad movement of people coming together, women's groups, coming together to protest this, and eventually Bechtel chose to exit the city.
What about privatization in countries that are less desperate? Isn't some of the U.S. water supply privatized?
About 13% of water supplies in the U.S. have some sort of private involvement in it. Sometimes it's rural communities where it's more the sort of mom and pops private supply, but actually in many cities we also see some of the same corporations that's been involved in Latin America being involved in supply here. And a number of communities in the U.S. have actually protested this as well. Just last week, we had Stockton in California deciding to cancel a private contract after it was found that it had violated state environmental laws. So we've seen a number of things like that. The biggest privatization that was in Atlanta was actually canceled after the large multinational, which is called Suez and is based in France, didn't deliver on the contract, and the city council decided to cancel the contract. So we've seen a number of places where that's happened, and when we have done service across the country and asked just ordinary people about privatization, people are quite outraged. And we're seeing a massive response to this, and people really not, even in the U.S., wanting their water supplies being controlled by a private or foreign company that makes the important decisions about water supply prices and so forth.
My guess is Majfil, M-A-J-F-I-I-L, director of the Water for All project at Food and Water Watch. Well, the situation in El Salvador sounds pretty awful as it now is. Contaminated water has been a major health problem. Where do people get water if not from the tap?
Well, about, as you said, about half of the population, a little over half, gets water from piped water. But even when they get that, that's not necessarily safe. So about half of the people who get water from piped supply actually get water that's unsafe.
Are they getting it from wells or are there reservoirs?
From wells. A lot of people are getting water from wells, but in urban areas in particular, where about 85% have access to water, to piped water in one way or the other, because it's not necessarily at your household. Oftentimes, it's at a communal tap where you still need to carry the water to your house. People buy water from water tankers that come around, from small-scale water vendors that come around, and actually the poorest people pay the highest price, not necessarily just in terms of paying, you know, some private vendor for bringing the water to the house, but also in terms of, if you think about the time that's spent by particular women and children going to these more communal places to get access to water. And it's really something that's very typical in a developing world. It's not such something that happens in El Salvador, but El Salvador is a particularly bad example of water delivery. It has the highest infant mortality rates and the lowest level of access to piped water. So it's really an area where something needs to be done. And it is something that actually our U.S. Congress has decided that they wanted to do something about it. A few years back, Congress passed a bill that's called Water for the Poor Act, and it was signed into law, but it still remains to be funded. And it would prioritize countries where people have a very high level of the population that does not have access to water. So this is a very important initiative by the U.S. government, but it doesn't help much if the U.S. Congress passes these kinds of laws and then fails to fund them. So this is something that we really need to call on our decision makers to pitch in on as well.
Have any studies been done to weigh the costs of reform to the existing public utility as opposed to awarding privatizing contracts?
Well, generally, public sector service delivery is actually cheaper than private sector delivery.
Well, obviously not in El Salvador.
Well, as I said before, it's been massively starved of public funds in order to set the system up to seem more attractive to being privatized to the local population as well. But interestingly enough, what we're seeing, even though people realize that their current services are quite poor, there is massive resistance to privatization because they have seen these things in electricity, in telecommunications, and services being made unavailable. So it's really a struggle both against something that's going to make the system work worse, but also towards finding better solutions. And so what people really are calling for is a national dialogue that's going to deal with some of the issues that people are dealing with and try to look at water in more of a rights perspective that looks at what does the situation look for each single family and not just try and create these ideological solutions.
You mentioned Bechtel. What companies are involved in this? Are these mostly European and American companies?
Well, Bechtel is one of the few American companies that actually are involved in this form of privatization and public-private partnerships. It actually happens to be mostly European companies, and in particular French companies have gotten involved in the water privatization. Sauer, Suez, and Veolia are some of the biggest corporations in the world that get involved in this.
Now, I understand that in Colombia, there are 150 private locally owned providers of water. They privatize, but they've kept it within their own community. Has that been suggested here? And is that a good solution?
That is, at times, a good solution. I think one thing that you can say about water is that there's no such thing as a blueprint solution that's going to work in every community. And it's very important to get the community input into these solutions as well. But we have examples from El Salvador where similar solutions have happened, where you have sort of a local private entity take over and really neglecting their services. So it's not necessarily better just because it's a local person, a local company that's taken over. It's not necessarily just an issue of having big foreign companies versus local companies. It's really an issue of engaging the local population in finding sustainable solutions.
Okay, Mai, so you make the case against privatization, but if the existing public system in El Salvador has failed to consistently provide clean water for all, well, what other alternative is there?
Well, I think the main problem is a similar problem that we actually see in the U.S., and it's a lack of investing in our infrastructure. It's not seen as a high enough priority, and even here in the U.S., we're seeing increased rates of disease due to lack of investment in water infrastructure. And that is actually expected to significantly rise in the U.S. And instead, we choose to fund other areas, that promotes more private sector development and not necessarily think about broad sector development, such as the water infrastructure that really needs to be funded. And it is something that really requires a national approach and not doled responsibility out locally, because oftentimes of water issues, they cross state borders, they cross city borders. It's not something that you can just say to a local city where, for example, the water is polluted, now you need to pay the full cost of this, because the cost in some areas is much larger than other areas.
Well, what
it's a responsibility that really needs to be shared. And in the case of El Salvador, it really needs to be shared on an international level as well.
Are we talking about very high costs of cleaning up this polluted water?
Not necessarily. In many cases, you could engage low-cost solutions. You can sometimes engage on household-level solutions. In other cases, it would need to be utility-wide solutions. But it's not necessarily high cost. But what we're seeing when we engage these international institutions, such as the Inter-American Development Bank and the World Bank, they come up with really high-cost solutions. And I was making some calculations on some of the projects that the World Bank is very proud of having supplied water to. And they come up in the range of $5,000 solution per household. And in many places, water can be supplied to local households for a cost of $50 to $100.
Well, right now, as you pointed out earlier, the middle and upper classes are benefiting mostly from the reasonable rates for piped water, while the poor have to pay higher prices for bottled water vendors. Perhaps this will save the poor some money, although I've also heard that public and private systems cherry-pick locations for service. They want to ignore impoverished areas where the customers are unlikely to be able to pay their bills. So the poor aren't going to get any service anyway.
Yeah, well, I think what really needs to be recognized globally is the massive benefit for providing clean water. And it's something that we did in the U.S. very early on, really recognize that, you know, the health effects of providing clean water have such a massive benefit to our whole system, not just the cost of health itself, but the ability for people to take work, for children to go to schools. So the benefit for society as a whole is 20-fold the small investment that needs to be made in water. And if we could just start to recognize that more broadly, I think we could get a long way. But I think what we need to realize as well on an international level is that this is not just something that, you know, happens in small places. This is about 1.2 billion people in the world. It's about a sixth of the world's population that do not have access to water. And it really ought to be more of an outrage.
Now we're talking about drinking water, but what about water for sanitation in general and drainage and sewage?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to look at the broad-based perspective, but you don't always need to provide sanitation that requires water. It's not necessarily sustainable doing sort of the U.S.-type system where you have a flush toilet. There are other solutions that could be engaged, but it's very important to provide that in a sustainable manner so that you don't, with your sanitation solution, create other problems for drinking water. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily happening in El Salvador, where we have a very, very high level of contamination of drinking water sources.
If the World Bank and the Inter-American Development Bank were not issuing conditional loans, might countries like El Salvador have a better shot at making their water systems work?
I think so. And I think it would be much simpler to have these national dialogues that are really needed in order to find sustainable solutions. Because right now, when you have these engagements with international financial institutions, the communication really happens between a finance ministry and the World Bank or the Inter-American Development Bank, and very little with the people who are impacted on the ground. Very little with ministries that deal with water supply, and hardly ever with any environmental ministries that obviously need to be engaged for this.
Mai, don't go away, because we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk with you and with someone else about what happened when people protested the privatization. Mai Feil is director of Water for All Project at Food and Water Watch. Stay with us.